Is artificial intelligence poised to take over the world and destroy mankind like Skynet in the Terminator movies? Probably not. But AI is enhancing user experience on the networks and platforms where we access our favorite entertainment. And we're going to chat about it. So come on and get geeky with me on this episode of Pop Life.
On-demand audio from WAER is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. To give or to find more information, visit our website, waer.org.
I'm Joe Lee, and welcome to Pop Life. This episode of the show is going to be tech-oriented. Ever wonder how Netflix knows just how to make the right recommendation on shows and movies that you like? How easy it is to search their database of thousands of titles in a matter of seconds? Or how TV networks quickly compile the best highlights from massive sports tournaments? Hey, how did the Netflix show Bandersnatch allow users to choose multiple plot directions? It's artificial intelligence, dummy. And enterprise services like IBM's Watson is giving us richer and more engaging experiences while improving content creation and production processes in the studio. To get a better understanding of how AI works to improve our entertainment experiences, I spoke with Doug Clark, Global Watson and Cloud Platform Solutions Leader for IBM. He specializes in the entertainment industry. Can you tell us a bit in layman's terms what it is that you do?
So thank you very much for the opportunity to meet your listeners today. So what I do is I help bring some of IBM's services and technologies to those content creators, to those content distributors, what we call broadcasters, and hopefully helping get content into the ears or the eyeballs of the viewers successfully and reliably so that we can all enjoy the shows and the music and the like that we want to hear.
And more people are cutting the cord, so to speak, and subscribing to video services like Netflix and Hulu, leaving cable and TV networks sort of scrambling for ways to attract viewer attention. And there's no shortage of good content out there. So how are they attempting to hold on to market share using new technologies?
So I think that's a really interesting point, and it's a very accurate point. There's now so many outlets or options that listeners and viewers have to consume content. And not only more, if you like, pipes to view the content from, but also more devices and choices in which to have that content displayed. So really, the content generators and the content distributors have the challenge of being able to cover all of those bases so that they don't leave any stone unturned, if you like. So in addition to, if you like, traditional linear TV or cable, or even satellite, now we're having to cover off, you know, the more cut-the-cord platforms. It's called OTT, over-the-top, internet, essentially streamed-type content that people are viewing in addition. And the key challenge they've got is to do that in a really efficient way because, you know, what could happen if we're not careful is that they're needing to maintain multiple systems or multiple, call it a supply chain, if you like, of that content going out of the factory, if you like, or out of the studio. And what they're trying to do is to standardize as much of that as they possibly can and have as few variants of that content as possible so that they're efficient and you know, things aren't getting out of whack or out of sync.
And now you've spoken in the past about some examples of how network television is using artificial intelligence to engage viewers on more meaningful levels. One of the examples you gave is how Fox used AI and digital platforms to promote more content from the World Cup 2018. Can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah, it was a fascinating project, really exciting project. So Fox, in collaboration with Adidas, basically used IBM technology, which from an IBM AI, artificial intelligence point of view, is under the brand name Watson, in this case, Watson Media. We used Watson and trained Watson to analyze the game of football, the game of soccer, as you call it in the US. And what does that mean? It means that the entire archive, in addition to the actual competition that was running through 2018 and was compelling viewing for anybody who likes England, by the way, because we got through to the semis, but the whole archive of every televised game was on the Fox Sports website. And what that means was, rather than you necessarily having to trawl through the entire game to get the real highlights, we used Watson's AI capabilities and trained Watson's AI capabilities to understand the game to be able to automatically clip the games and create the highlights of those games.
Cat among the pigeons if it went in. Neuer didn't grab it! And nearly Germany were made to pay the price. What a nervy moment.
So that you as a viewer could, you know, go onto the website, look at a particular year or a particular country team or a particular player or a particular feature of a game, like a goal or a foul or a penalty or a save or whatever, and actually have those highlights automatically generated for you. And then you can enjoy those, and not only enjoy them, but you can then share them with your friends on your own network. So that was a really exciting idea that we came up with Fox, and I think it was massively attractive and compelling viewing.
That's very interesting, and I do believe I used some of that service. I was a big World Cup viewer. I was rooting for England since we weren't in it, because I'm a
thank you.
I'm a massive English Premier League soccer fan. But from the user standpoint, well, from a business efficiency standpoint, now back in the day, that those duties would probably likely be done by some production assistant who would have to go through all the footage, choose what they think are the highlights of a match, put together a highlight reel, and then get it up on the cloud. And now we have Watson. And if you could talk a little more about Watson, because we see the commercials all the time. I don't know if folks really understand
sure.
what Watson and what Watson is. But now we have artificial intelligence solution to that kind of workflow. And
yeah, workflow.
So how do you teach Watson to know what are the interesting highlights that are going to be of most interest to an average viewer?
Sure. And you know, you're absolutely right, Joe. The key thing here is, yeah, humans can do it, but the sheer volume of content that you need the humans to monitor and digest is massive. So just thinking about that World Cup app, there were 3.3 billion viewers, an estimated over 300 million online public viewers. There were about 35 billion hours of video broadcast. So, you know, it's a huge task. So, you know, how do you get the needle in the haystack, so to speak? And the way we do it is by looking at key attributes of the game. So it's actually easier to describe it with tennis, because we do, at the moment, we're doing the Melbourne Open down in Australia. And the game is analyzed across a number of elements. So, for example, we listen to the noise of the crowd. We analyze the statistics that are coming off the game, which is the same whether it's soccer or golf or tennis, for example. We're listening to the commentary, and that commentary is then translated from speech to text. We're able to understand the sentiment of the commentary. So it's like what we call natural language understanding. So you can kind of guess when you're playing tennis, it understands the meaning of the word love in tennis rather than the word love as in the emotion. It's watching the players and actually doing some visual recognition on some of their gestures. So if they're doing a fist pump or a high five or they're slamming a racket on the ground or whatever, it's picking all of those bits. And by analyzing each one of those attributes, it's able to provide like a score. And it's that we teach it, basically. And each of those scores you add together, you compound those, and that'll give you, if you like, a particular score for that particular feature. Mm-hmm. Now, the next thing you have to do is understand, well, okay, that's great for the fist pump, but what was the fist pump associated with? Well, it was associated with a rally, which might have been, I don't know, 20 strokes. So you have to go back to the beginning of the rally, and you obviously know where the end of the rally was. So then that creates what in, you know, media schemes we would call a scene. And then that then gets edited, you know, and cut and paste and posted into a board on the either the website or for the editors of the show. Maybe it's a sports highlight show. And you start saying, well, actually, here they are now ranked in order. You can rank them in chronological order in terms of the ones that are most current, most recent, or you could rank them in terms of which ones were the most exciting. Mm-hmm. And that then allows the news editors or whatever to say, well, I've got, I don't know, 1:30 that I've got to fill. I can choose these two elements, or actually I could fit in those three. And it also, you know, obviously there's a human being involved here to sort of double check and everything, but it allows them to like short circuit the process and then, you know, essentially analyze concurrent games or have concurrent games analyzed for them to create, you know, interest for the immediacy that the fans are now demanding.
Are you familiar with, have you seen the science fiction short Sunspring? It was written.
I haven't. It's on my to-do list, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I guess you're the same. It's like, how do you keep up with all of these things? Some of them go viral, and you start binging on them. Other ones, I'm still to catch up on. So that's one that I've still got to see.
Okay, it's worth the 8+ minutes of its time. So, the situation is, I guess there was a film festival, and. The creators of, well, not the creators, but the some of the participants, directors, filmmakers at the festival wanted to see if they could use artificial intelligence to write a movie, and they used they put together some algorithms and created a script for Sunspring. Now, while viewers understood that it was created by computer algorithms, they I think it influenced their enjoyment of it. I think if you watched it not knowing it was created by an algorithm, you would have a WTH or what the heck moment. Because the dialogue was pretty incoherent.
In a future with mass unemployment, young people are forced to sell blood. It's something I can do.
You should see the boy and shut up. I was the one who was going to be 100 years old.
Well, I saw him again. The way you were sent to me, that was a big, honest idea.
And the stage directions were very difficult, but the audience enjoyed the content and made... it made some human creatives pretty nervous that it did actually put together a script for a watchable movie that was enjoyed. I think it ranked pretty high in the contest for that film festival. And so my question is this where we're going? Is AI going to be good enough to actually put out a script for content that does have coherent language? That does give better stage direction. Are we close to that yet?
Well, I guess it's a challenge. And that example of Sunspring is probably the latest iteration of that. We did this a little while back with a feature film called Morgan AI, which was, you know, in the same way as some of these things are getting a little bit meta. Morgan AI obviously was a film about AI. It was about the girl character in the film is created from artificial intelligence, and it's all about the story of that character. I don't want to spoil it for any of the potential viewers of it. But Ridley Scott, who was the director of the film, asked IBM if we would be interested in using AI to actually help create the trailer mm-hmm. for that film. So again, a little bit like the soccer example, and there's a theme here that I'm hoping is helping answer the question there on Sunspring. It's iterative. So when we did Morgan AI, we taught Watson, our AI, we helped it digest, I think it was something in the order of 100 films in the same sort of genre. So this is science fiction, a bit dark, in terms of its style and character. It was a suspense film. It was a horror film. So we sort of gave it a number of films from that genre to digest, about 100 films. So we gave it about 100 trailers of those same films. And then we gave it the full feature film of Morgan AI. And within 24 hours, it created it selected the scenes from within the film to create the trailer that we put out there as being, you know, Watson generated trailer. It's all available, publicly available on the internet if anybody wants to search for it on their browser. And it's fascinating because at the same time, the producers also had a human doing this, or human team doing the same thing. And it was fascinating when you compare the two that actually Watson chose the same scenes.
Oh, wow.
It actually put them in a slightly different sequence, actually, or some differences in the sequence. But it was fascinating that, you know, something that can take the industry, you know, up to 6 weeks worth of human work, we were able to do with Morgan for that particular example in about 24 hours.
Wow.
Now, the first few goes at it were terrible, honestly, because we're training this thing and it never done it before. But now we're going through that. And to answer your question more fully in terms of can we use it to help create maybe a storyboard, we have just done that in Europe with Lexus, the car manufacturer, where Watson has taken the features of the car, the attributes of the car, if you like, the marketing team think of the main sales features of the vehicle, and created the storyboard for that TV ad, and that is now airing in Europe. So the answer to your question is, or long answer to, probably should have been shorter, but I think we're getting there. Will we ever get rid of humans? I really don't think so. The key thing that you know and I know, as we just described with the film, or the short, is that there's so much volume of stuff going out there. You need a lot of capacity to be able to process it, you know, and with 4K as well as all of the different form factors, just keeping up with the fire hydrant of content is really hard.
Yeah. I think the bottom line when it comes to that kind of creativity is that it will be an extremely useful tool for creatives in the future. The next big frontier for entertainment and user engagement, do you see that as, and I know there are some legal issues now with Netflix Bandersnatch, so we won't go into detail on the show itself, but Black Mirror Bandersnatch is an episode of Black Mirror in which users have an opportunity to actually engage with the content and choose different endings.
We're going to be a hit factory, like Motel, but for computer games.
You heard it here first.
Bandersnatch.
It's an adventure game.
Based on the book. Jerome F. Davies was a genius.
See that bloke who went cuckoo and cut his wife's head off?
When it's a concert piece, a bit of madness is what you need.
Do you see that as the next big frontier for user engagement with entertainment content?
I think it could be. I think there's a gap in the market. You know, it's a bit like, you know, car manufacturers, you know, used to have the big trucks and they used to have the station wagons, and they thought, actually, you know what, if we put something in the middle, we create this new category called SUV. You know, and I think it's almost that same kind of scenario where you're saying, well, you know, people are into gaming and having these experience adventure kind of things where they don't quite know what's around the next corridor or alleyway or whatever. But they're also really into these dynamic dramas and stuff like that. What if we could create something in the middle? How would that look? I think from listening to some of the guys I know in the office here who've watched that episode, and it only aired just after Christmas, right?
Right.
I think it was delayed for quite some time because, I mean, technically it's really challenging to do something like this, right? But there's so many permutations and so many options, and you have to go back to, you know, a particular point, or you have to hold someone and then have them take a decision. I think the water cooler conversation or the social media conversation that came off of the back of that wasn't so much more around the storyline and the, oh, did you see that? And did you hear what he said to her? And did, it's more about the, how did they do that? What was the technology? It was more of a, it was kind of, again, a meta kind of conversation, probably because I'm with technical people, but it was more around that than actually, did you see it? You know, and it's right. The same way as, you know, did you see the game last night? Well, yeah, what about that foul in the third quarter?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That wasn't that terrible. The guy got hacked down. Well, you could be saying, well, what third quarter? I was on quarter six by then, because I'd never got, we bypassed that altogether down the route I was going. And I was looking at some of the flow diagrams, because there's a lot posted on the internet now about Bandersnatch, which is kind of interesting just in itself. It's really interesting just looking at those flows. And I'm just wondering whether, is that going to help the dialogue amongst the fans? Or is that actually going to be, you know, is this process going to impinge that or create a new, as I say, a new category altogether? It'd be interesting to see. I mean, it's an example of one, but let's see where it goes. It's really fascinating and exciting. And I applaud them for the technology that they applied there. It's absolutely novel.
It was an interesting experiment. Certainly, I don't know if I enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed the interactivity. My daughter and I watched it. I think what we lost was the plot and the story. We got so caught up on, wait a minute, did we choose this one the last time? And which way should we go? Hurry up, choose something before it chooses for us. And we got so caught up in the machinations of watching it and lost the story. So really, I think if you
kind of where I was heading.
Yeah, if you pressed me, I don't know if I could actually tell you what the storyline was. You know, any real details about the storyline. So it was an interesting experiment. I don't know unless it gets better, because I think there were some things about the experience that I did not enjoy. And there is something to be said for sitting back under a blanket with your drink and just being immersed into the storyline. So I think you lose that, but it's interesting to see if they can get past this proprietary technology issue, if that's going to be the next big thing for us. This is a pop culture show, but you've really appealed to the geek in me. I want to thank you for coming on and helping to explain what's behind the experiences that we are having as viewers and consumers with the various platforms that we turn to for our entertainment. Doug Clark, Global Watson and Cloud Platform Solutions Leader, thank you very much for taking time to chat with us.
My pleasure, Joe. Thank you so much for having me.
Today, we have more data and more storage than ever before. Computing power is off the charts, and smarter tools for machine learning is driving content creators and entertainment platforms to new heights. And we're here for the ride. That's going to do it for another episode of Pop Life. Be sure to subscribe in iTunes or play on demand at waer.org. I'm Joe Lee.